And it's a special honor and privilege today to hear from Will Sims. He is the founder of the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here. Thank you very much. And thank you for the last 10 years. You know, you've really made this program become more, a lot more effective than I did.
Well, you started this, what was it, around the year 2000 or so? I started in 2003.
Okay.
Honey Harris did it for 2 years before that.
Okay. I did it for 1 year only.
Okay.
And it began with folks like Barton Bond, no longer with Santa Fe Community College, I don't think.
No, but he was a great mover and shaker in the media department there.
Indeed. He and I talked about doing a morning talk show on KSFR. At the time, I was at loose ends between radio stations, and I said, okay, I'll do that. In the beginning, the show ran from 6:30 until 8:30 a.m.,
okay.
2 hours. And then very shortly after that, they let me have 7 to 9.
Right.
It was still 2 hours. We carried some news during that time that you don't, I don't think, carry today. We ran three times an hour the BBC short newscast, followed by, believe it or not, local news from when Mark Bentley had KRSN in Los Alamos. He would do the local news three times an hour, along with the guests and stuff. I usually had two guests, one between 1 hour and one the next hour. But that was just the first year. And after a year, I had some other things I wanted to do. So I stopped doing the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. But when I first started talking to Barton, I said, you know, I'll do it, but I don't want to do it out of the studio. I want to be around people. And picked the Santa Fe Baking Company as a place to do the show.
How did you choose this place?
Because I had been a customer here, and I kind of like the fact that it's sort of central to Santa Fe. I had looked at some other coffee shops, but finally decided that this was the best place to be. It was bigger. At the time, the owner, not Eric and his brothers, there was a previous owner who said, sure, let's do that. And he gave me the space that you're using right now, and away we went. But, you know, I made some mistakes in that first year, it seems to me. For one thing, I insisted on the fact that the audio be spread throughout the restaurant. And so I would go switch from music to this show for 2 hours. And a lot of the folks who came here didn't come here to hear the radio. They
yeah.
came here to have coffee and breakfast and read the paper. And there were some complaints about that. But I wanted the people who came here to become a part of the show. And it turned out most of them didn't care.
Well, it's tricky, too, because if it's loud enough for people to actually hear it, because we were thinking about that when I first started, if it's loud enough for them to actually hear the show, then it provides feedback into the microphones
yes,
here.
Yes.
And if it's not loud enough, then it's just some weird talky background noise.
That was my problem. It wasn't loud enough.
Yeah.
And so it was just sort of there. And it would have been better not to have done it at all. But that was one of my deals, was to have this show be heard by the people who came here, whether they wanted to hear it or not.
Every once in a while, and we actually considered giving out little radios with earphones so that people who are here can hear it.
I bought 4 or 5 of these little radios with headphones and had them here available to people. Nobody came. Nobody wanted one.
Isn't that interesting?
Almost nobody. I mean, during the year, maybe one person, two people wanted to hear the show on this little radio. That was money down the drain in this case.
You know, things evolve with time and as technology changes. And now, of course, people can stream the show if they're not in town. And some people do that. They can listen to it on the web. At that time, that kind of technology was not yet available.
Indeed. Things have changed a lot. In fact, you may know the radio business has changed a lot in the last 10 years. The internet has made everything different.
Now, you've been doing radio for a long time, and probably anybody listening right now can hear you've got a real radio voice.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, I did radio for some 40 years. Started actually in Albuquerque. I grew up in Albuquerque. And I was lucky enough that there was a radio station in Albuquerque High School, which I graduated from. It was up at the top floor. It's still on the air, KANW, but it's not at Albuquerque High anymore. It's had its own studios now. But in my day, it was at the school. And for a couple of years, I went up there and recorded announcements and did various things. I remember announcing shows like, it's time for Let's Learn a Song for fourth grade and stuff like that. But it was a good experience for me.
You had fourth graders tuning in to listen to learn songs?
Well, this, at the time, KANW was intended for in-classroom listening. It was not intended for the public. It was like a giant public address system. And we had listeners all over the school system in Albuquerque at various times listen to various shows intended for them. As a result, the station was only on from like 9 to 11:30, and again from maybe 1 to 3:30. That's it. It signed off the rest of the time. It was off the air for an hour and a half over the lunch hour, and I talked them into letting us do a show for the cafeteria. And we had three different announcers, one for each lunch period, but we were playing music into the cafeteria just by lines. We took some audio lines down to the cafeteria because the
station... Plugged them into a speaker.
Right. The station was off the air, so we used the console and played records from that location down into the cafeteria during my senior year at Albuquerque High.
That's a beautiful thing.
Went off to UNM. I went to UNM for 3 years, finally quit and had a family. But during that time, we started what is now KUNM.
You were part of the founding of KUNM.
Indeed. Not as much as I was the show. But in those days, KUNM was called KNMD, and I'm not sure why that was true. And it was not on the air. It was a so-called carrier current station and was heard in the dorms, in the student union building, and other places around campus. And it was sent out by wires, mainly the electric system in those buildings. So it was a very limited broadcast. That station later became and went on the air as KUNM. But I went to the very first meeting of Let's Start a Radio Station at UNM.
Were you on the air on KUNM itself?
I was in the afternoon. Long before there was public radio and that kind of programming, I did a rock and roll show, I think, 4 to 6 in the afternoon, using a phony name. I didn't use my own name because I was working at a commercial radio station in Albuquerque at the time.
What was your DJ name?
Bob Bruce. I don't know where that came from. My middle name is Robert, so that's where the Bob came from. I'm maybe just the alliteration of Bob Bruce. It's the only time in my life I've ever used another name besides my own.
So you've worked with commercial and public radio stations over all these years.
I have, mostly commercial stations. In some 40 years in radio, I have owned 15 radio stations. I'm more of a buyer and seller of radio stations, a horse trader, if you will. The most I ever owned one for was 7 years. That was KLSK, now down in Albuquerque. But that was the longest. I think I had one for 6 months before I sold it.
What is the business... Well, at least when you were doing it, I know, as we've talked about, things are changing very rapidly, but when you were in this business of buying and selling radio stations, what was it like? What made a radio station valuable and made somebody want to buy it?
Well, of course, the business you're doing, how many commercials you're selling, you know, what the profit is of that radio station. But there was also some value for the frequency, the power, the coverage of it. The guy thinking he could do a better job than you could, you know, that's part of what I was doing. I would buy stations that were either not doing well, or in some cases, I started brand new radio stations and would build them up over a period of time and then try to find a buyer. Back in those days, you could find buyers for radio stations. So people wanted to own them. I don't know that that's as true today as it used to be, and prices certainly have gone down since those days.
Very interesting. Now, as you say, for a commercial station to be valuable, it has to be selling ads. For it to be selling ads, people have to be listening. For people to be listening, there have to be good programs.
Yes.
What were the kind of programs that were most popular?
Well, it depended on the community. Every community was different. I would go to a town and try to determine what was missing in that town in terms of what music to play, because that was still one of the main criteria, was what's the sound of the station. But also, I believe very much in serving the community and getting out there and doing things. Being involved, caring, you know, doing a lot of remote broadcasts and doing good things for the community. The more you get involved, the more it comes back to you. And it did for us in a number of places.
So when you started the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, it was 6:30 to 9:30, and then it was 7 to 9 in the morning. And actually, when I started in 2003, it was 7 to 9 in the morning,
yes.
Totally live. Also with some news breaks, and the news department at KSFR has developed very, very nicely. What kind of guests were you having on?
Oh, like you, all kinds, you know, people doing things in Santa Fe. A lot of so-called nonprofits wanted to come on the station, but all kinds of things. I would interview the mayor, city councilors, people who ran the newspapers. I know had Andy Dudzik on from The Reporter a couple of times. I see he's now retiring from The Reporter, but he was a guest from time to time, and lots of other people. Just people around the town wanting to get the information out about what they were doing.
Which is such an important part of a local radio station's job, is to get the town, get the information out about what is going on in that town. And that's part of what I do. That's what part of the local print newspapers do. And it does seem to be missing from a lot of communities to the detriment of the fabric of our larger society.
Indeed, yes. Again, you know, radio has changed, and in some cases, stations can't afford to pay the fees that are required to bring that kind of programming on. And so they use a computer. They have music stored in a computer or something, or they take a satellite program from someplace that costs them nothing. Again, a lot of cutbacks have occurred in this business in the last 10 years or so.
Now, you then went to Puerto Rico.
Well, I've been there 8 years, yes. I did some things after this show, including KENC 102.9, now called Blue, I think, 102.9. But I started that station from scratch, licensed to Pecos, but we were able to put a booster here in Santa Fe and cover the community pretty well with the booster. And that's still being done, I think, on 102.9. But I put that station on the air from scratch after this show. But my intention was to sell it, and I did within a year or so sell that station. And that's really the last one I have owned. I haven't owned any station since then. I was helpful in getting my Puerto Rico family to get the license back of a station that they had lost the license for. It had been off the air too long, and the FCC has, the Federal Communications Commission, has some rules about that. But they changed those rules a little bit, primarily because of disasters like Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. They found out that it wasn't just the effects of the hurricane, it was what the effects of the hurricane had on the economy. And the economy changed. This particular station had been licensed to St. Croix in the Virgin Islands. And it just couldn't go back on the air after 1 year because of a hurricane. This was Hurricane Georges in 1998. So we went to the FCC, my wife and I, Gabi, and we got the license back. The final vote was 5-0. There are 5 commissioners, but it took the commissioners, not the staff of the FCC, to rescind the revocation of that license. But we got it back on, and it's still on the air. That's what my wife does. She manages WVIS. With a studio in Luquillo, Puerto Rico, where we live.
And what kind of programming do you do?
It's primarily Spanish, of course. And so I don't know much Spanish, so...
But it's talk radio.
No, it's not talk. It's an FM, primarily music. They do a morning show and do involve some talk in the morning show, and they interview some people in the morning show. But the rest of the time, it's primarily music.
We're talking to Will Sims, founder of the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Do you have any plans of doing more radio, or...?
I'm doing a couple of real silly things involving radio, and one is right here in Santa Fe. In a few days, actually, and maybe by the time this program is heard, you'll be able to hear 95.9 repeating The Oasis in Albuquerque. It's an off-the-air pickup. I bought the translator as a kind of a favor to a friend of mine who owns the Oasis in Albuquerque, and you will soon be able to hear that same station on a translator that I own on 95.9. I'm doing the same thing in Alamogordo for a friend. He wanted to be heard in Alamogordo. He has a station in Cloudcroft, New Mexico, but he can't be heard in Alamogordo, so I bought a little translator to reproduce his station in Alamogordo. But these are very incidental involvements in radio. I can't originate programming. I've got to repeat another station.
Right.
So in Santa Fe and Alamogordo, that's all I'm doing is repeating stations for friends of mine.
And meanwhile, living part-time in Puerto Rico.
Almost full-time, yeah. This time, I'm on a 6-week trip across the country. I brought my dog. It was too long to leave him alone with my wife, who's busy running a radio station. And we've crossed the country, saw a daughter in North Carolina, went to the Jazz Fest in New Orleans, saw another daughter there, then crossed Texas. Takes a long time, you know.
Dog thought so, too.
And life goes on.
Well, Will Sims, I owe you a wonderful debt of gratitude, as does the city of Santa Fe, for founding the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, and it's just great to have you on the air.
I'm glad to be here, and congratulations to you. You're the one who's really done it. I just got it going, but you've done it well.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great honor and privilege to do so.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program Nina Stively. She is with the Espanola Valley Humane Society. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having me.
So it's kitten season, huh?
It is. It sure is. It started early and it hasn't stopped.
Oh, heavens. So what's happening over at the at Espanola?
We are just getting boxfuls of kittens. Every morning we get to the shelter and we have an overnight drop box where people can leave animals anonymously. And it's pretty much a guarantee that there's going to be at least a litter of kittens there, that people will be bringing cats and kittens throughout the day. In July, it's pretty typical for us asked to receive between 10 and 20 animals in the shelter every single day.
And, oh my goodness.
And this time of year, we're looking at 3/4 of those being kittens.
Wow. So when you have that many kittens, you've got adoption events.
Yes, we do. We actually are hosting the largest cat adoption event in New Mexico this weekend. It's called the Santa Fe Kitten Festival. We've been doing it for 6 years running, and we're expecting about 120 cats and kittens to be at this adoption fair.
And the cuteness is so overwhelming.
Right, exactly. It's pretty hard to say no to a kitten. I mean, whether or not you're a cat person, you can't really argue with the fact that kittens are pretty adorable.
Yeah, and cats, if you're not allergic to them and everything, they're wonderful. Full pets.
Yes, yeah. I mean, they're a lot more low maintenance than dogs. They're great for folks who maybe have a busier work schedule or travel a lot. Cats are happy to see you when you're there and probably don't miss you too much when you're not.
Exactly. Now, you've got cats coming in not only from the Española area, but all over the place.
Right. So for this event, you know, it started to build up a reputation that the animals that go to this event are very likely to be adopted. So we have the large number of the animals are coming from Espanola Valley Humane, coming from our shelter. But we have shelters around the state who, unfortunately, are so full that they do euthanize perfectly healthy, beautiful kittens because they don't have a place to put them. So we're inviting shelters that are at risk of doing that to come to this event. So we've got kittens coming from Carlsbad, Las Cruces, Las Lunas, Gallup. All over the state, basically, are coming out to this event to try and find homes for their babies, too.
Meanwhile, whatever happened to spaying your female cat?
Right. I think a big part of the challenge is people don't realize that when they feed that stray cat, that cat probably is not fixed, it's not vaccinated, and whether or not it's having kittens under your shed, it's probably having kittens under somebody else's shed. So one cat becomes 5 cats, becomes 20 cats very quickly. So, you know, feeding that stray becomes a problem very, very, very fast.
And a lot of people are feeding strays.
Yes. And I think that people are starting to understand a little bit more how important it is to spay and neuter your own pets. We're making progress in that area. But stray cats are a big source of the strays and the surrenders and the number of kittens that we receive every year.
And so is there a program to deal with stray cats? And I mean, I think there was some kind of catch, spay, and release or something like that.
Yes, right now in Espanola, we have a program called Mission Meow, and it's funded by a private donor, and it covers spay and neuter of feral cats, and it's partially funded with PetSmart Charities assistance as well. And we offer a trap. You can fix those animals and re-release them out into the community. And the idea is that, you know, an ecosystem only has so much food for a number of species. So if you're putting a bowl of food out, or if there's, you know, 20 mice that come to your grain pile every day, that's only going to sustain so many cats. So if those cats that are at that area where the food source exists are fed and they are healthy and they are fixed, they're going to ward off other cats. They're going to limit the population. It's a self-limiting population once they are spayed and neutered.
How do they limit the population of unfixed cats?
Essentially, they defend their own food source. So they keep them from coming back. They are not as welcoming to cats that are outside of their colony. So in that case, the food supply is limited to those other cats, and then they are not able to reproduce as effectively.
And so are those programs beginning to catch on?
Yes, there are. There's a lot of programs like that throughout the state and throughout the country. It's becoming more popular. People are realizing that essentially trapping and just euthanizing these wild or feral cats is not a solution. There's so many cats out there. You'll never get ahead of it. And if the food source still exists, the cats are going to still exist. You're never going to eliminate the cats, so your best bet is going to be to reduce their ability to reproduce.
And of course, cats, as we've discussed on this program on more than one occasion, are responsible for the deaths of a lot of songbirds and other kinds of wildlife.
They are, and so if you really want to address that, your best bet, it sounds strange, but is to keep the predator chain intact. So you've got these cats that are going to stay there. They're less likely to be predatory because they're not feeding their families. They're staying in the same area. And ultimately, the number of cats is going to be reduced by a trap-neuter-release program, whereas just trapping and removing, it might initially help the number of songbirds in a certain area, but it's going to really deplete the sources in the end because you've got so many more cats that are going to be able to reproduce with that food source.
So basically, you put fixed, neutered, spayed, whatever cats back into their environment, they defend their territory, and then other cats have to go find someplace else.
And essentially, the other cats are going to die off.
They're going to die off, and they'll be eaten by owls and coyotes.
Right.
A little less than an ecosystem. But let's go back to the cat kitten adoption event, which is this coming weekend. It's Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 5 at PetSmart in Santa Fe, which is right across from Target.
Right. And this is our fourth year in a row going there. And they're really, really supportive of us. So everybody who adopts a cat this weekend. So if it's kittens, they're $25 each or 2 for $40. Any cat over the age of 5, there's no adoption fee. So you have the chance to go pick out a cat, have a new best friend, and that animal's already going to be spayed or neutered, vaccinated, dewormed, microchipped, and they're going to come with a carrier, a collar, food, and all sorts of goodies from PetSmart. So it's a great time to adopt. Yes.
That's amazing. That's a lot of service for a cat. And of course, can we just talk for 1 second about the wonder of older animals?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, you know, kittens, as cute as they are, you know, you got to be prepared for your drapes to get torn up a little bit. They're going to wake you up at night. Although if you adopt two of them at once, maybe that won't happen as much because they'll entertain each other. But when you're looking at an older animal, I think that you've got an animal that's already house trained. They already know who they are. You know how big they are. You know what their personality is like. There's not going to be a whole lot of surprises with an older animal. And we have lots and lots of cats who are just totally wonderful cats and just need a second chance.
Kittens and cats at the 6th Annual Santa Fe Kitten Festival, Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4 at PetSmart in Santa Fe, which is right across from Target on Zafferano. Nina Stively is with the Espanola Valley Humane Society. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
And they can be found on the web at evalleyshelter.org. And I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He's senior editor at New Mexico Magazine, and he's with us many Fridays speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice rain last night, huh?
Nice rain indeed.
I heard they got like the power went out in a lot of places, but my house didn't. There was power at my house.
Yeah,
all
the only
around me there was no power.
The only thing that went out was my dog's calmness.
Yeah.
That's long gone. But anyway, Eddie Palmieri tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Yes, indeed.
And I am looking forward to that.
Yeah, you interviewed him, didn't you?
I did. Yep. We had a nice conversation, and he's a great master. The man has won so many awards from so many major institutions, like sort of old boy institutions, as
yeah.
well as being a complete leader in the Latin music and Latin jazz world.
Absolutely.
9 Grammy Awards.
9?
Not one. Not
Damn.
2.
Take that, Justin Bieber.
And then, you know, we haven't been talking lately about the opera.
We have not been talking about the opera.
But the opera continues.
The opera continues. Let's see. I know that tonight we have La Donna
del Lago, the Lady of the Lake.
Yes, we have the Lady of the Lake tonight. And then, we also have Oscar. Right?
Tomorrow. I think it's opening night of Oscar.
It's the opening night of Oscar, and I wanted to read this little bit in a story that Candace wrote for the lovely New Mexico Magazine.
Lovely Candace Walsh.
About Oscar. It says, Oscar stars acclaimed countertenor David Daniels, fresh from singing the role in Handel's Giulio Cesare at New York's Metropolitan Opera.
Julius Caesar.
Composer Theo Morrison specifically wrote the opera for Daniels. The singer, quote, wanted the opera to have some edge, to have relevance to the 21st century, unquote, says PR director Joyce Hidema, referring to Wilde's imprisonment for his romantic involvement with Lord Alfred Douglas as it relates to this year's debate over same-sex marriage.
Yep.
But it's not a gloomy tome about gay rights, she said. It's a full-blown opera that's got humor, satire, everything an opera should have. Right, and then General Director Charles McKay says it's lyrical. It's not atonal and dissonant, but it's not warmed over 19th or 20th century music either. It has a piquant, modern sense quality to it. The 19th century character of Oscar Wilde's time, put through the prism of the 21st century. That sounds
excellent.
Like a good one.
It does.
Tomorrow night, right? Opening night. And then again on July 31st, August 9th, August 12th, and August 17th.
And it's not playing that many times, but it's definitely worth going to check out. What else is going on?
Well, Spanish market and contemporary Hispanic market, hello,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
This weekend. You could tell by the swollen crowds in downtown.
I know.
And the lack of parking spaces at the state capitol.
I was eating lunch downtown yesterday, and the people I was with said, who are all these people and why are they here?
Okay. here. They're paying your salary.
Exactly.
One way or another. But no, it's going to be a fantastic gig. I generally, you know, stay away from the big crowds. I like to go early.
Yeah.
But contemporary Hispanic market is one of my favorite things ever.
Now, we have a play coming up. Let's see. Santa Fe Rep is presenting a reading of Moises Kaufman's Gross Indecency. And this is also an Oscar Wilde thing. This is what I was looking for when you were talking about Oscar at the opera. It takes us through the three grueling trials Wilde was forced to endure before being sentenced to 2 years in prison. And it's tonight and Sunday. Tonight at 7 and Sunday at 4 o'clock. And it's part of the opera's symposium on Oscar Wilde. But you can also go separately. You can go to sfrep.org or call 629-6517 to get your tickets. And lots of great local actors. And Scott Harrison of Ironweed Productions has stepped in at the last minute to replace an actor who I guess wasn't able to do it.
He's just everywhere lately, isn't he?
He's fabulous.
Yes. Tons of art openings this weekend, especially tonight. I'm all gussied up. Sitting across
you
from you.
You are.
For the Zane Bennett Contemporary Arts Native Vanguard Contemporary Masters, including works by T.C. Cannon, one of my favorites, Frank Buffalo Hyde, another one of my favorites, and Ramona, I can never pronounce her name, Sakistewa. Anyway, there's a reception from 5 to 7 p.m. It goes through August 23rd. That reception is tonight. If you can find parking, you should go. Or just walk there.
You know,
or take a bus.
Somebody said to me the other day, we are so spoiled here in New York, you think nothing of walking 10 blocks. But here, if you don't find a space in front of the building to which you are going, you feel like you just have to go turn around and go home and take your bed.
Here's the thing. In New York, the sidewalks are even. There are no holes in them. Okay, they smell like urine, but they're flat. They're even. There are no holes in them for the most part. And, you know, your biggest obstacle is a giant rat.
Your biggest obstacle is the 437 other people on that one block.
Well, that's true. But at least everyone's headed in the same direction.
But the point is, you can park, like, on the other side of St. Francis.
Yeah.
And walk. Anyway.
That's true.
Grand Gallery grand opening of Lone Dog Noise Cat, Neo-Aboriginal Art. Robert Mirabal and Black Eagle are doing that, and it's today from 4 to 7 at 241 Delgado Street. And so this is a new gallery, Lone Dog Noise Cat. And for more information, lonedognoisecat.com.
Neato.
Yep.
Hey, Meowwolf is up to their old tricks again.
Oh, really?
They are doing this really cool thing, and if I can bring it up, I will tell you all about it. It's called Rogue City, right? It is basically a party out of bounds. You know, remember the old Traditions, the Butterger's space out there? Traditions on the way to Albuquerque? They have transformed some of it into this really funky, freaked out, psychedelic sort of dance emporium, right? They've got DJs Numtron, Dirt Girl, Holograms, Tina Pizza, Syntax, Don Quixote, PFFP, Coder, Teddy No Name, Muffin Top, The Infector, Adam Joel. But this is also cool. There's going to be a projection dome, a 30-foot projection wall. There's going to be a Meow Wolf light sculpture, and Lumenscapes is going to be providing lighting effects. If you go to their Facebook page, MySpace, what is this, 2000? Anyway, you can figure out how to get tickets, or you can, you know, just go to their Facebook page. Anyway, but it's tomorrow at 9 p.m., and it lasts pretty much all night. And they have a shuttle if you don't want to drive.
Excellent.
I think there's limited space, and it might all be taken. But go to their Facebook page and find out.
All right.
It's going to be a really cool event.
So Felines and Friends has, as always, sent their Cat of the Week.
No kidding.
And this week's Cat of the Week is Amina. She and her siblings Amara, Archer, and Acton were rescued from one of their trap neuter release operations in Los Pinos. And Amina is very sweet, playful, and adorable. She's a beautiful girl, medium length, black and white coat, black face, and a little white chin. That sounds so cute. And she's just a few months old, so she's a kitten. If you are interested in adopting her, call 505-316-2281 or go to FNFNM, which stands for Felines and Friends, FNFNM.org.
Sweet. Hey, Anthony Leon and Paige Barton are going to be doing a duet thing at Tiny's tonight at around 8:30 in the p.m. That's going to be a fun show.
Excellent.
And it's far away enough from town that you can find parking. So so that's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm looking in front of me, and there are just like a ton of art openings, too many to mention here. But we've got GF Contemporary's got Glance at the Sun. It's a group show. There's a session from 5 to 7 tonight. That's over there on Canyon Road. We've got Independent Artist Gallery at 102 West San Francisco Street. And let's see, that's on the second floor, remember that. There's Pastels by Sally Barnes Freeman. And I don't know if there's a reception tonight, but it opens tonight anyway. Let's see, Thai Gallery has Fushi Bamboo Basket. So, you know, like if you're in the neighborhood, you know, at the Zane Bennett thing, you can go to the Thai Gallery and check that out too. Anyway, lots of stuff going on gallery-wise.
And okay. A Collected Works bookstore
yes.
Tonight. Bill Carellis, Life, let's see, I'm still pre-caffeinated, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Friday, tonight, Bill Carellis, Living Life Fully, Finding Sanity and Goodness in the Unpredictable, A Guide to the Good Life in Our Modern Era, by this author who's publishing with Shambhala Press. And that's tonight. They didn't give us a time, but I'm thinking it's 6 o'clock. And then Sunday, the 28th, Journey Santa Fe, David Correa and the Troubled History of New Mexico Land Grants. And Zaylee did, I believe she did a show on that yesterday here on the Radio mm-hmm. Cafe. And that should be a very good book. And he will be the guest lecturer. And those are usually at 11 o'clock. And then Sunday, July 28th at 3 o'clock is the open mic. Sign up is at 2:45. And you can just show up for that and read your poetry or do whatever, or read something, whatever you want to do. Then Tuesday, the 30th of July, Roger Ween's Red Rover, Inside the Story of Robotic Space Exploration from Genesis to the Mars Rover Curiosity. And finally on Thursday, the 1st of August, let's see, SWIA and Collected Works Bookstore present Authenticity in Native Arts, which is an ongoing lecture series by Native American artists.
Neat.
Yep.
Hey, John Tonacosta and the Straight Up are playing tonight at the Museum Hill Cafe at 6 p.m. in Milner Plaza. That's going to be a fun one.
Yes, indeed.
Anything John does is fun. Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival is continuing, right? We've got the Santa Fe, at the St. Francis Auditorium. At the New Mexico Museum of Art. Tonight they've got the Flux Quartet. That's 6 p.m. Then, let's see, Saturday they've got the guitarist Richard Savino and soprano Christine Brandis. And that starts at 5 p.m. So, lots of chamber music stuff happening.
Yes, and this is the first year that I haven't covered chamber music in some detail on this show, but do not forget, ladies and gentlemen, to go to chamber music, because it's one of the greatest events of our year.
One of the greatest events. Isn't that a song or something? Something?
And they're also going to have a Cuban band.
Really?
Later in the year, yes. Later in the summer.
Hey, we've got Santa Fe Bandstand is continuing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Monday, we've got Fiddlin' Doc Gonzalez and Lipbone Redding. And then we've got Round Mountain, and that's all, let's see, that all kicks off at like 6 on Monday. And then Tuesday, we've got Tree Motel and Jupiter Spiral, some sort of indie rock and some psych rock. That happens at 6 p.m. That's going to be a good one. Tree Motel used to be a Santa Fe band. Now they're an Austin band.
Oh, cool.
With Santa Fe roots.
Is that considered a step forward?
I think it all depends on your outlook. I think a lot of indie bands, indie rock bands anyway, don't get much play here, both on the radio and in venues, and so they end up having to leave for those reasons. Anyway, let's see. And then we've got Nacho Mendez is playing at 6 p.m. Along with Mariacha Buenaventura. And then Lumbre del Sol is also playing. That's on Wednesday. It all starts at 6 o'clock.
Excellent.
Lots of good music on the bandstand.
And exactly. Santa Fe Bandstand, another great institution of our summer. I wish summer would go on for longer.
Forever that, and ever.
Not forever and ever, but if you could just have spring, summer, fall, and then a very abbreviated winter, that would be good. It's a week away. The Santa Fe Public Radio KSFR Book and Music Sale, August 2nd and 3rd, next Friday and Saturday, over 7,000 books, 3,000 CDs, 2,000 LPs.
I know.
And DVDs, and everything must go. Everything must go.
I think this might be the weekend I go out and get a phonograph.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
And it's Saturday, let's see, Friday 1 to 6, and there's a bit of admission. And Saturday 9 to noon, and then again 1 to 3, and admission is free for everyone on Saturday. And it's at the fitness center. It used to be in the Hemis Rooms. Now it's in the fitness center.
Yeah. And it benefits, of course, KSFR.
Yep.
Oh, congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Didn't you win some kind of thing or something?
Santa Fe Reporter Best Locally Produced Radio Show.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for voting.
Yes. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
What have we got here? Santa Ana Feast Day is actually today also out there at Santa Ana Pueblo. That's going to be fun if you want to get away. I'm reading things in the calendar of the New Mexico magazine, so I'm just going to veer off for 1 second into different territory.
Yes.
Let's see. We already talked about the opera. We've got the coach of the Lake Triathlon is there on July 28th at Coach of the Pueblo. Let's see. What else?
I'll tell you what else. The Wagner Society of Santa Fe. Whoops. Never mind.
Okay. I'll go. Las Vegas, the Rough Rider Motorcycle Rally is July 26th through 28th. And Ruidoso, we've got the Van Cleburne International Piano Competition Gold Medalist. Performance by the prize-winning pianist, selected in June. Dispenser
awesome.
Theater for the Performing Arts. That should be pretty cool.
That should be super amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
And then tomorrow, a group called Runa is playing a gig, and that's a vocalist and step dancer, Sharon Lambert Ryan of Philadelphia. There's guitarists and percussionists and mandolin and bodhrán and all kinds of step dancing and fiddle. So they often perform with world-renowned guest musicians, including Isaac Alderson of the Yulian Pipes, Flutes, and Whistles. And so all of that is at Gig Performance Space at 1808 2nd Street. And there we have it.
Yeah. Hey, Spring Awakening continues Warehouse 21 this weekend, today, Saturday, and Sunday. We've got 7 p.m. Performances tonight and Saturday, and a 2 p.m. matinee on Sunday.
Yay.
And that's going to be a good one. Tickets are available through holdmyticket.com. You can call 231-6879 for more information. Ages 16 and under must be accompanied by adult because there's boys kissing in it. Yeah.
Shock, I tell you.
But it's a really good play. I'm hearing very good things.
Yeah, I've heard very good things about it as well.
So, let's see.
What
I lost my place.
What else we got?
Let's see. We've got lots of theater. We've got El Dorado Children's Theater has Broadway Kids at La Tienda Performance Space in El Dorado. Let's see. There's a performance tonight, or this afternoon at 3 p.m. Excuse me. We've got Bye Bye Birdie. Continues. This is the final weekend of the Pandemonium Productions production of Bye Bye Birdie at the James A. Little Theater. Let's see. We already talked about the Three Trials of Oscar Wilde.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. We've got Spring Awakening, right?
And last Friday's free Rail Yard Park dog movie night featuring the Disney classic
Lady and the Tramp
was canceled due to the amazing rains. And being in New Mexico, we just simply don't complain about rain because we must not and we can't. And it's so wonderful. However, it did cancel the movie night. So, Heath Concerts, event sponsors Tekatoo and the Espanola Valley Humane Society and the Santa Fe Rail Yard are doing a rain check show tonight. And it starts at sunset. Leashed dogs are welcome.
Leashed dogs are welcome.
Leashed.
That's tonight?
That's tonight at the Rail Yard.
Oh, not leased dogs.
They're dogs with a collar and then a little clip and then a string, which is kind of leashy.
Okay. Right. So not like dogs for rent, not leased.
Leased, no.
Okay. just making sure.
Good. That's a good thing to be sure about.
This is more theater. We've got the Santa Fe Shakespeare Society is presenting 12th night at the Bandshell, 6 p.m. today and Sunday, right?
Uh-huh.
It's through August 11th. Some of these things get rained out, as we know, this time of year, in the monsoonal season.
It's true.
But it's right by my house. I mean, I could just take my dog. Oh, no, you probably can't take your dogs over there. But I could walk over there. I could ride my bike over there. I could skateboard over there if I had a skateboard.
Now, isn't Fusion Theater doing a Sam Shepard play?
Let me see. I'm not sure if that.
I will find it. You go ahead.
I'll just keep on keeping on. Right? Did you already talk about the KSFR Radio Music Cafe Jazz Series?
You go ahead.
Okay. Vocalist Barbara Bentree with John Rangel on piano, Anthony Zadrozny on bass, and John Tredicosta on drums, 7 p.m. at the Museum Hill Cafe.
Yes. I believe you talked about that.
No. That was a different one. That was a different Tronicosta deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yes.
There's one tonight, I think, and then there's one on Wednesday night.
All right.
Yeah. This one's for KSFR, though, babes. So call 428-1527 for more information. These things really fill up a lot.
Oh, we missed the Fusion Theater.
We did.
Sorry.
Okay. Darn. Sorry.
It's my fault.
Yeah, Santa Fe Opera backstage tours also are still happening.
Yes, so. And don't forget to go on a backstage tour. And don't forget to go to the movies.
Oh, yes. That's right. What have we got?
What have we got?
We have a vampire film now today. It is, what is it called? Byzantium is this vampire drama that's happening at the screen. I don't think it's like Twilight. I think it's probably better. I think there's probably acting in it.
Well, that's a very high bar.
Yeah, it is a very high bar. I can't believe that the vampire thing is still happening. Anyway.
I know, people love it. Well, the vampire-werewolf love triangle was truly inspired.
Yes.
Vampire, werewolf, human. But, okay, so vampire movie. And don't forget, 20 Feet from Stardom, which is a great hit, which is playing at the CCA. But it's about backup singers. Have you seen it?
No, somebody was talking about this movie at work the other day.
Yeah.
No, my mom was talking about it. We wanted to go do something this weekend that didn't involve looking for a parking space. So we were thinking about maybe going and seeing it.
Yeah.
You know.
It's apparently fantastic. Nothing but good reviews. And that's at the CCA. And then The Look of Love, starting today. And here's what they say about it. Epic, sexy, and anchored by a wondrously nuanced performance by comic genius Steve Coogan, Michael Winterbottom's latest tells the rise and fall of Paul Raymond, the king of Soho, during the swinging 1960s and 70s. Soho, English Soho.
Swinging, baby.
Yep.
Hey, Mom, if you're listening, Masters of Comedy, Silent Comedy Extravaganza number 2. She probably just fell asleep when I said that. But I love silent comedies, and CCA is having another round of them Saturday and Sunday, July 27th and 28th. And apparently our good friend Robert not really, you know, didn't think it was too bad.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to this.
You should go.
Yeah, it's 2 days only, and I don't know. I want something funny, though, and uplifting.
Yeah, funny and uplifting is good.
I went and saw World War Z.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God.
Was it bad?
What a piece of garbage.
Is that Brad Pitt zombie movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't even take his shirt off. It's like, but it's not even.
Then why go?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, if you're into that, but.
Is he a zombie? Or is he a zombie fighter?
He's a zombie fighter.
Mm.
Yeah. The book was much better. Read a book.
Yeah, everybody stay home. We're telling you all these things to do, but instead stay home and read a book.
No, but I'm saying in lieu of how bad this movie is, go pick up the book instead.
Ah, okay.
It's a quick read. You can finish it in the same time it took for the movie.
Wow.
Anyway.
So here's a movie at the CCA, Cave Digger and Monument to the Dream, final encore screening on Monday, July 29th. The American Institute of Architects is presenting this, and and Rob Paulette will be in person. It got 3.5 chilies from the Pasatiempo, and it's about the eighth wonder of the world art caves in New Mexico's Sandstone Cliffs. I haven't seen it, so I'm not even sure what we're talking about here. Have you seen this movie?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. And then encore screenings of Wild are happening Friday and Saturday. That's today and tomorrow. It's a presentation also of the Santa Fe Opera.
Hey, did we mention the Institute of American Indian Arts Writers Festival?
No!
Okay.
Please do.
That's on Tuesday. There are free readings by students, faculty, and native authors, including N. Scott Momaday.
Yay. Isn't Sherman Alexie coming soon?
I think so.
We'll have to get a hold of that, yes.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's something about it on the IA website, or you can call 424-2351. The festival is through August 3rd, but I'm not sure what the exact schedule is. So.
Okay.
So, yeah, get on that.
Yeah.
What else? There's some poetry readings. Rick Smith is reading on Wednesday the 31st at Opposite at 500 Montezuma Avenue, the old home of Borders and the lovely Lucky Bean Cafe. And that is at 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday. So, if you like poetry, there's one for you. Desert Corral.
Did you say Opposite?
Yep.
Yeah, because they're not in the little lovely bookstore area on Baca Street anymore.
No. They're waiting to move. I think they're waiting to move into that space over there where, like, O'Hori's is.
Oh, okay. I'm glad they're still with us. That was a very, very nice bookstore.
Yeah. And they have a lot of space there now. And they have a lot of books.
They've got a lot of nice stuff.
Yeah. So I really need to get over there and say hi to those guys. I haven't really seen them since they moved. Let's see. Behind Adobe Walls House and Garden Tour, Santa Fe Garden Club's annual guided tour of local private residences is going on. If you go to the santafegardenclub.org, you can find out the dates and times. I know there's one on Tuesday, the 30th. From noon to 5 p.m., which is kind of hard for people who work. But I'm sure there are other dates. So check that out. We've got Santa Fe Clay Summer Slide Series on Wednesday. Series continues with ceramist Stephen Hill at 7 p.m. at Santa Fe Clay over there in the rail yard at 545 Camino de la Familia. And Summer Slide Series is through August 14th.
And don't forget to go to not only the CCA, but also the screen. You mentioned the vampire movie there and all kinds of other movies. A performance on Sunday called Nabucco Greek Theater and Teatro Antico from Taormina, Italy. Taormina, that's Sicily. I have ancestors from right around there. Anyway, conducted by Pier Giorgio Morandi and directed by Enrique Castiglioni. And this is sung in Italian with English subtitles. Okay.
Neat.
So, yeah. But I guess it's a movie of a performance. Is that what it sounds like?
What it sounds like.
All right. And lots of other good things are happening. So, you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Rob DeWalt has been joining us. He's senior editor with New Mexico Magazine and is here with us quite often speaking of the arts. We are streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. And please do write. We welcome all comments. And if you're going to send us a listing to be read on Speaking of the Arts, please send it a few days rather than a few weeks beforehand. Because the ones a few weeks old just get lost in the vortex of inboxiosity. So, stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz. And Rob DeWalt, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. I just wanted to mention that the August issue of New Mexico Magazine is available now.
Excellent.
And it's got some really neat stuff in it, including 25 Reasons to Love Gallup. Who knew?